and welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I am your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled Our Roadmap to Value. Hospitals and health systems continue to test and adopt alternative payment and delivery models, and there are many ways in which that can be done. For us at Maine Health, we utilize our accountable care organization to facilitate a lot of this work. In today's episode, we are going to dive into the work we are doing as Maine Health around this matter and how we are developing our roadmap to value. To join me in the conversation today are my guests, Jen Moore, President of the Maine Health Accountable Care Organization and Vice President of Payer Relations and Innovation, and Dr. Rob Chamberlain, Medical Director for Maine Health ACO. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kelly.
Before we talk about the roadmap ahead, Jen, I'm going to start with you first. Can you maybe share some background on the Accountable Care Organization for our listeners?
I sure can, Kelly. An Accountable Care Organization is a group of providers that work together to take accountability for a population. And we actually got our roots back in 1994, a year before Maine Health itself was formed, when Maine Medical Center got together with its then employed physicians, a much smaller group than exists today, and the community physicians, and banded together in response to managed care and the then current payment models. And they knew that by working together that we would be able to better respond to those. And though the models have changed over time and the organizational structure has changed over time, the concepts haven't changed, which is that we still really believe that we can be successful when we take accountability for a population. Today, we have a network that includes Maine Health, St. Mary's, and community providers. It is 11 hospitals strong, 1,700 physicians plus, and we are accountable for about 280,000 lives or beneficiaries, if you will. And that accountability is around triple aim. So we're held accountable for measures around cost, quality, and patient experience. And when we're successful, we can share in savings with those plans, and we have a great history of success there. Our role at the Accountable Care Organization is to set up those models and help our participants be successful in them.
Excellent. Wow. I mean, just the number of lives, right, of patients in our communities that we're serving through the ACO. I mean, that's significant in a state, you know, the size of Maine and New Hampshire, right, where populations are fairly small compared to other states in the United States. So, Rob, the cornerstone of the work we do today and really the future around the shift to value is about integration with our physicians and APPs. Can you share some examples of how both our employed and non-employed physicians are involved in this work and how are they aligned with our vision?
Sure, Kelly. We talk about value-based care and accountable care organizations. The way I think about this is just good care for our patients.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're all here at the end of the day. And so if we think about how are our physicians and APPs and care teams involved in providing good care, I mean, that's why we come into work every day.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say this move to value does, it aligns the rest of the system for what we know is the best care for our patients. So I'll give a couple examples of how that alignment shifts things for us in a really positive way. So back when I was co-leading the primary care group at MMP, we had this pediatric group that wasn't hitting their budget. And this is, you know, fee-for-service world. And so one of our pediatric physician leads went out there and I said, you know, so what's going on? Why are they missing their budget? And he came back. He said, well, Rob, I looked into it and the problem is when a parent calls with a problem with their child, instead of just booking an appointment, the doctor gets on the phone, calls back the parent, and triages it, manages it over the phone, and we don't get paid anything. And he and I looked at each other. This is exactly what we want to do. This is valuable care to those patients, but the fee-for-service model doesn't support that. And so it's about engaging our docs to say, okay, if we can move to a different model, that's great. That's good for the patients. It's what we know we want to do. And it aligns the systems and the financing models to help support us to get there.
That's amazing. And, you know, I think that example is really powerful, right? Because when we ourselves are the patient, mm-hmm. right, or the parent or the caregiver, and mm-hmm. even though we're in healthcare, we want that same experience, right? Yeah. We'd much rather have that conversation, figure things out, and not necessarily always have to utilize services when there might be others who are in greater need.
Yes.
But yeah, our payment environment, unfortunately, mm-hmm. traditionally doesn't reward us for that work.
Exactly.
So exciting that we have the opportunity through our ACO platform, right, mm-hmm. to look at ways in which we can be rewarded for what really brings value.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, when we think about the future and where we can possibly go in terms of really moving into value as a greater percentage of how we get paid versus the traditional models, what are some of the things we're exploring to really diversify in this area and utilizing our ACO as a vehicle?
Yeah, let me share a little bit about what our current models are and where we hope to head. As Rob stated, the models are important because fee-for-service payment doesn't reward the right types of care, and it's a dwindling reimbursement, which is why our strategic plan is really emphasizing revenue diversification. What are other ways that we can be rewarded for providing the right types of care? Our current models are typically shared savings contracts around total cost of care. So they will look at our population and they will estimate what they think that we should be able to manage within a financial target. If we're successful in managing to that target, we can share in that savings on a typically 50% with a payer. It's important to note that quality is as important. That savings is adjusted based on quality performance. And that's different than those models I referred to back in the 90s, where it was really financially driven. And so the marriage of quality and cost and patient experience is critical. Most of our contracts are shared savings. Some of the new models we're exploring are complete two-sided arrangements. So our partnership with Agilon is a mm-hmm. good example where we're saying, you know, we can do better if we take full accountability for total cost of care. And we take both the rewards and the risks in that because you can be much more flexible within a payment model when you are playing with that full total cost of care dollar. So that's going to be exciting for us. 2023 will be our first contract where we start to explore those two-sided models. I think we can learn a lot. We also have models within the model. So mm-hmm. within a total cost of care model, we have primary care capitation, as Rob mentioned earlier, that really rewards the right types of care. So there's so many services that aren't rewarded by fee-for-service to be able to pay for emails, phone calls, all care management, all those services that aren't typically paid for is really meaningful and can change the way we provide care. It can be transformative. Specialty bundles is another example of that, where more and more commercial payers and certainly CMS has put forth models where we can look at episodes and from pre-surgery to post-acute, where are those opportunities to improve that, reduce redundant care, and really provide the highest level of quality that we possibly can. Finally, I think an exciting opportunity for us is in the direct-to-employer space. And where are there opportunities for us to work with employers, whether it's for limited clinical offerings, to be a center of excellence, or potentially a more enhanced relationship where we take two-sided risk on their populations. So I think we have an exciting time ahead, lots to explore, and there are models that are coming out on a daily basis that we can look at and decide what will benefit us as an organization and really propel us forward in the transformation that we're seeking.
One, it's very exciting, and exciting to know that there is such a breadth of options that we can take and that we don't just have to stay in one lane, but we can really, you know, expand in the right ways and in different ways. As we evaluate some of these opportunities, how are we engaging the clinical care team and helping deciding which one of these we're going to take and, quite frankly, how much work is it going to take for us to be able to be successful? I mean, Rob, can you talk about how we are engaging those closest to the patient in making some of these decisions?
Sure. So The ACO itself, by its structure, kind of from a governance standpoint, we are physician-led. So the chair of the ACO board is a physician, Mark Fouray. If you look at all of our committees, so there's a lot of physician leadership making decisions at those levels. But in terms of the kind of the actual work and delivering care to the patients, that is where we have a really strong relationship with our partners throughout the ACO. So within Maine Health, it's a lot with the local health systems as well as the medical group, mm-hmm. and partnering closely with them. So I have really close relationships with some of the primary care leaders. We're meeting with some specialty group leaders. So engaging them in our decisions and our process and thinking through. And then St. Mary's is part of our ACO, and so we attend their quality meetings, and we have private practice PCP forums. So it's a lot about getting out there, building those relationships, and then having those conversations inform the decisions that ultimately are made by governance committees that are predominantly physicians.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because I think it's important that we aren't just in a vacuum saying, oh, we're going to be in this, you know, this value-based arrangement, but we've really not talked about it with our clinical teams and gotten mm-hmm. their thoughts. So great to hear that we've got many venues to get that input, get that feedback, and then, of course, that we are physician-led from a governance perspective. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask either one, feel free to jump in on this question, but when you think about our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America, how do you see the work of the ACO really contributing to achieving that vision?
Yeah, I'll start, but please do chime in, Rob. I've long thought that the ACO is a great poster child, if you will, for working together. We're yeah. bringing community physicians together with our employed physicians, recognizing that it takes the medical neighborhood to really care for a population. We work with community health organizations and with the payer community itself. So we're really all working together with those same goals in mind.
Yeah, I agree 100% that this is only successful when we're working together with our care teams. So our communities are the healthiest in America. The thing that gets me excited about value-based care and value-based care transformation is we do well when our patients do well.
Right.
So in fee-for-service, I mean, we do well, unfortunately, when our patients are sick. And we never wish for our patients to be sick. I mean, every care team member who comes in here is here to help patients heal. The truth of the financial flowing is that when patients go to the ICU, we make money. When they need cancer treatments, we make money. When we flip to value-based care, we do well when our patients are healthy and they're not going to the ICU. We do well when we have that palliative care conversation so that patients can have hospice and die at home with their loved ones as opposed to being in the ICU and intubated. We do well when we screen for that cancer and catch it early, and so we don't need to do those expensive oncology treatments, which save lives. And I love that we do those, and we have amazing care team members that do those. But aligning the financing with, so we do well when our patients do well, then our communities do well. And that's, I think, how we can together work to have the healthiest communities in America.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you both for joining me today on this episode of Working Together with Kelly Elkins. You know, it's just so exciting to learn about what we are doing in a real thoughtful and intentional way to shift into the value world. And, you know, Rob, I think, you know, your last comment there, to really get at the heart of being rewarded for helping keep our communities and our patients healthy and well. And ultimately, this is a great way for us to balance and shift away from those traditional models of how we get paid. And hopefully we're able to demonstrate that we can be so successful in these models that we can be leaders as we really move away from those more antiquated reimbursement models. So thank you both for joining me. It's been a pleasure, and can't wait to hear more as we build out the roadmap and introduce some more of our programming around this.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it.
I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as Maine Health to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. If you have ideas for topics for future podcasts, please email those to workingtogether@mainhealth.org. Thank you and have a blessed day.